That is just a sound that brings a smile to your face, doesn't it? Whether they're running up or running back, it's joy-filled. It's really neat. Again, good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you here, whether you're in person or online. We are happy you're here. As Pastor Bud had said, we've been talking over the last number of weeks about our mission statement that was created last year about who we are and what Jesus calls us to be. At Concord Church is a Christ-centered community that exists to worship, teach, and serve as we proclaim the good news or share the good news of Jesus Christ in a broken world. Week one of our sermon series, it reminded us that why we worship, because God is worthy of it. And because when we worship shapes everything else that we do. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about discipleship, or we talked about the word teach, and how this is not an optional aspect of our walk with God. It is the way that we are formed into Christ's likeness. And today, we are turning towards the outward expression of these two inner realities. We're turning to the word service. Service is where grace spills out over into a world that desperately needs hope and mercy and truth and love. Service is where the gospel becomes visible. And Jesus declares on the Sermon on the Mount that you are the light of the world. Notice Jesus didn't say, you ought to be the light of the world, or you could only be if you tried harder, or maybe one day you'll be the light of the world. But Jesus said, right now, you are the light of the world. And think about it. Why did Jesus say that? Because the world is a dark place. People are searching. They are looking for hope. They are looking for meaning in their lives. Because brokenness is real. Because every neighborhood or school, business, hospital room, street corner is full of people who are carrying grief and confusion and sin and fear and need. And Jesus came as the light of the world, and when we follow him, his light reflects through us. And Jesus continues in Matthew 5, he says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. Perhaps one of the most significant sentences in Scripture about Christian service, people see good deeds and God receives the glory. Right? Good deeds never end with us. They point through us to God who loves and saves. Service is discipleship on display. Now, sometimes we imagine service as being things like volunteerism or philanthropy or random acts of kindness, community engagement, or doing nice things because it feels good. And all of those may overlap with Christian service, but none of them explain it fully. Christian service flows out of three convictions. The first one is this, that we serve because Christ first served us. Our Jesus washed feet, touched lepers, fed crowds, lifted up the poor, welcomed the outcast, and surrendered his life for our salvation. Methodism's founder, John Wesley, taught that acts of mercy, service, is a means of grace. These are places where we meet Christ as we serve the poor and the sick and the prisoner and the stranger. Secondly, service is the fruit of faith. Right? Good works don't save us. Jesus does. But saved people produce good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, so that no one can boast. Right? We are saved by God through faith. We are saved through grace, saved by grace through faith. But then verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship, created to do the good works he has prepared in advance for us to do. We are not saved for good works, but we are certainly created for these works. Thirdly, service is participation in God's mission. You know, we don't bring God into the world. God is already in the world at work. Service is simply joining Christ in what he is already doing, healing wounds and lifting burdens, restoring dignity, repairing injustice, freeing the oppressed, standing with the lonely, and proclaiming the good news through word and deed. And Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another humbly in love. Not some of you serve. Not only the extroverts serve, or the people with free time serve, or those on committees serve. There's no qualifiers to Galatians 5:13. Every believer serves because serving is what disciples do. Service is a way of life. Jesus formed a community where every member is a minister, a body in which every part contributes to the whole. If worship aligns us to God and discipleship forms us in Christ, then service sends us out into the world as agents of love. Our mission statement reminds us of the reality that we face, that we share the good news of Jesus Christ in a broken world. Right? It's an acknowledgement that we don't serve in a perfect environment. We are called to serve in families carrying stress, or marriages that are struggling, communities that are wrestling with addiction, neighborhoods facing hunger, schools under pressure, loneliness and despair, or just spiritual emptiness. I mean, here's the gospel truth. Where the world sees brokenness, Jesus sees opportunity. His grace pours into the cracks. His love binds wounds. His mercy restores dignity. His people bring light into the darkness. Serving in a broken world means that we walk into the mess, not away from it, because that is where Jesus always walks. And it brings us to the refrain that we've been saying every week of our series. Right, at Concord Church, we don't choose between worship, discipleship, and service. We live all three together as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Service is not an option or an extra. It is an integral part of what it means to be a Christian. Because you can worship passionately and you can study deeply, but if it never translates, if it never comes out of you into love-filled action, something is missing. And James says it incredibly bluntly in James 1, that faith without works is dead. Jesus said that people, we will know that we are his by our love. Right? Love made visible is simply service. Paul said that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Service. Because when worship fuels discipleship and discipleship produces service, we become the church that God intends us to be. Because service that glorifies God points not to our generosity, but to God's grace. It points not to our compassion, but to his love. It points not to our strength, but to his spirit at work in us. We don't serve to look good, we serve to make God visible. When people notice a light in us that they cannot explain, they become open to the gospel in ways that words cannot accomplish. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi who said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Right? Service is not about the size of the act. It is about the love that is behind it. Now, Scripture is full of incredibly ordinary servants. Moses stuttered, Gideon doubted, David was overlooked, Martha worried, Peter stumbled, Timothy was timid, Mary Magdalene carried scars, Lydia was a merchant, not a preacher, the Good Samaritan was just a man on the side of a road. God seems to delight in using fishermen and farmers and tax collectors and widows and teenagers and people that the world would dismiss, all to accomplish his kingdom work. If God waited for perfect people to serve him, then nothing would get done. And what that means for you and I is that we are not too busy to serve. We are not too broken to serve, or too uncertain, or too young, or too old, or too unprepared, or too late. None of it. We're not too late to serve the living God. He calls you because he loves you. He empowers you with his Holy Spirit. Right, the battery in the flashlight, and goes with you wherever he sends you. And so how do we make service a lifestyle instead of an occasional project? Well, here are four practices that you can begin today. And the first one is this: pray daily, here I am, Lord, send me. You know, service begins with availability. Ask God each morning, who needs encouragement? Who needs help? Who needs me to listen? Who is hurting near me? God, open my eyes to these things because I am available to you to be used. Secondly, identify your gifts and then use them. You know, service is offering what we do well. You know, some people cook or organize or lead or build or repair or teach or listen or encourage or give or pray. There is no gift too small for God to multiply. Thirdly, look for needs inside and outside the church. Service must happen. Service has to happen in our congregation. Service has to happen in our homes. Service has to happen in our wider community. Christians serve the church because the church is Christ's body. Christians serve the world because every person bears God's image. Fourth, make service a habit, not a holiday. It's great when we mobilize for big events. But Jesus formed a people who served daily and quietly and consistently and faithfully. Small acts done in Christ's name create a ripple effect that transforms homes and schools, and workplaces, and neighborhoods. You know, right after Jesus says that we are his people, the light of the world, he says this: a city on the hill cannot be hidden. Church on a hill cannot be hidden. Light draws people. Light comforts, light guides, light helps travelers find their way home in the dark. And when the church serves as Jesus serves, Sinners find grace, and the lonely find a family. The fearful find courage, the hungry are fed, the weary are lifted, and the lost find their way home. Service is not something that the church does. Service is what the church is. It is Christ's body carrying his love into a broken world. And so as we close out our series, hear again the mission that God calls us. Worship with all of your heart. Grow as disciples of Christ. Serve with all of the love that he has poured into you. And as you do, trust the promise. The God who calls you will equip you. The Spirit who fills you will empower you. And Jesus himself walks with you every step of this journey. And may Concord Church be known not just for the songs that we sing, or the sermons we preach, or the buildings we maintain, but for the love that we offer in Jesus' name. Because the world is not going to know Christ until Christ's people make him visible. Church, there is no plan B. God is calling us to be the light. God is calling us to be the messengers. And so we need to make them visible. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for you. We are grateful for your call. We're grateful for how your love transforms us. Lord, we certainly are grateful for the opportunity to worship you, to pray, to sing praises to you. We are grateful for the way that it builds us up. God, we're thankful for those opportunities we have to learn through different teaching opportunities. And we're thankful that Concord is a church that has always valued Sunday school. It values people gathering together to talk about your word. Lord, we pray that as we continue to learn your word, Lord, that we would be not just filled with knowledge, but that we would be transformed by your presence. And because we are filled up with worship and because we are built up in discipleship, Jesus sent us out in service. Here we are, dear Jesus. Please use us. It's in your name, O Savior, we pray. Amen. Now, in your bulletin this morning is, like we had 2 weeks ago for Teach, a lot of opportunities exist on this paper here. And I would encourage you this week to look through this paper and see the service opportunities that exist here at Concord Church, the service opportunities that exist here in our community, the service opportunities that exist nationally, and the service opportunities that exist internationally. And make the decision that I will serve. I will include this in my life because this matters. There's something I've been praying for the last number of weeks is, God, make us a church where worship and teaching and service is important. And I pray that each and every one of us, we can look at our lives and see where we are participating in each one of those. Because when a church participates in worship and teaching and serving, we are able to share the good news of Jesus Christ in a broken world. Right? These are the vehicle. This is the mechanism that we have to share Jesus faithfully. And let us be that church, not for Concord's glory, but for God's. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for choosing to use ordinary people like us to proclaim this incredible good news that the Creator of everything would send his own Son for us to live and to die, to rise for us, so that then we could spend our lives, dear God, proclaiming our Savior, proclaiming your goodness through all of who we are. Here we are, dear Jesus. Please use us. It's in your name, dear Father, dear Son, dear Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. I look forward to seeing you next week.